Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I told you I'd get back to that number. Today we have 49,000 naval personnel in training, the most since 2003, right after 9/11 when we had a big upswelling. And they are flowing to the speed today at speed, educated and trained by force development and joining their commands, presenting a professional and lethal face to the world, serving as a key part of our nation's deterrence calculus. And our adversaries must take that into account should they feel that today is the day to roll the dice.
Do they think today is the day to roll the dice? My job as the commanding officer of Naval Education Training Command is to equip our military with people from the street. We put them in the fleet. We train them to be lethal, to work in teams, to deter our enemies, and to kill them if they have to. That's the essence. That's the message. That's what they do.
And force development is the mission. Taking an American who wants to serve something greater than themselves, and then convincing them that the United States Navy or Marine Corps is the best place to realize that vision. And then they must swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, that my teams welcome them into naval culture. By welcome, I mean we take them in and break them down. And rebuild them into a lethal and survivable team.
Now, keep in mind, and I say this a lot, because I just think it's the most fascinating thing about Jeff Cherico, the outgoing admiral at NETSI, Caesar's his call sign, I think it's he has 8 kids and 6 are in the military, but it's fantastic. I mean, so he knows. I mean, his kids who have gone through training that he has overseen, his kids who, or they have recently gone through and he's overseeing it now, and he knows, and they're the future. And, you know, if we're thinking about war with China, it's his kids that are going to be in the fight. And so he's got the job of overseeing the education to prepare everybody else who's going to support his kids in that fight, right? Like, he's invested.
Educate and train these teams in the specific skills the naval services need and then send them to the fleet. Where preceding generations of combat-ready warfighters help them begin the world's greatest apprenticeship. Whether for their term, their contract, maybe a career, or even a life of service.
Even a life of service, as his family knows all too well.
Sometimes the loved ones follow.
Sometimes the loved ones follow them.
It's your fault.
He's talking to his friend Admiral Cheeseman, and it's your fault, Rick, for Chief of Naval Personnel, for setting me up this way and talking about my family. Got me thinking about my family. These guys all cry because it means a lot to them. You know, it always means a lot to them.
When I assumed command on June 8th, 2023, I will admit I was a bit tired. I had just returned from being at sea as the commander of Carrier Strike Group 4. And I remember that speech. I said that my goal was to bring the fleet to NETSI. I also wanted to affirm to everyone present that NETSI had a primary role to ensure the fleet had the talent to deter our adversaries, that it was our responsibility to listen to what the fleet needed and provide it to them with alacrity and vigor, and that our focus was on maximizing the lethality and survivability of the fleet, and that should deterrence fail, that we should fight and win decisively. Being tired, I lost my place in my speech, so I just simply stated what was on my mind. And that should deterrence fail, we should kill them. And it was really quiet after that. After the speech, he said, that was pretty intense, CMP. I said, yeah, I'm a fighter pilot, I'm intense. But that's our job. Our job is to kill people and blow up their stuff. And anything else that gets in the way, we don't do.
And again, that knowledge from having commanded the Carrier Strike Group and bringing that to NETSI. Same thing for Admiral Huffman, who's replacing him. Bringing that frontline awareness back to the training pipeline and make sure that everything we're doing in training these young men and women is towards the capability of killing them and blowing up their stuff. And if it's not doing that, we don't need to do it. that's the job. And he says,
I tried to live and I tried to lead like I had skin in the game. Because I do.
He absolutely does.
And each of us does, in one manner or another.
We all do. If we all care about this country, we all do.
And we should all act like it.
And he says that Admiral Huffman is the finest master strategist, the best strike group commander that he's ever seen, and he was involved in the assessment, so he would know to be able to do that. But he says, look.
So I'm going to end with this. Go ahead and flip to the back page of the program, the back cover. Yeah, you'll see an officer crest on there, and there's some words in Latin. Those words translate to, the die is cast. Now go fight and win. Someday our adversaries will roll their dice and figure that it's time. At that point, our only choice is to fight and win with what we have. Capo, if you don't mind, that's your charge.
Capo is the call sign for Admiral Huffman.
For these 49,000 in training today and those tens of thousands to come, please make certain that the sailors we have in the fleet are the result of your very best efforts. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been my honor to lead. Thank you.
Now, incoming Admiral Huffman has three kids, two of whom, one's an F-18 pilot, one's an MH-60 pilot, helicopter pilot. So, you know, and a nurse who does mental health training or mental health care. So, and their spouses are involved, like another military family. He was the commander of Carrier Strike Group 12, which is the Gerald R. Ford. We'll talk about that in just a second. But he also brings very vivid frontline knowledge to the training pipeline, you know, being in the front and training to produce what we need to be able to fight at the front. That's the key. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
What a great speech. I mean,
it's fantastic.
I'm speechless.
And yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Still flowing good on I-10, I-110. Highway 90 is looking really good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, no. Yeah. Cherico's great. Yeah. He's been doing this for 2 years. It's unusual. Usually it's a 3-year tour.
I started to cry because I'm like, wow, that's powerful.
And you think about his kids, his life, and, you know, and his wife, and all of this stuff. And, you know, Admiral Huffman incoming has, you know, he's invested too. And he seems like a really great guy based on our, you know, short conversation that we had with him yesterday. But, you know, he did what an incoming is supposed to do, be on point, be brief. And he was. And he finished with a great quote from Arleigh Burke.
I will close with a quote from one of the finest leaders of our modern Navy, Admiral Arleigh Burke. He noted that there is one element in the profession of arms that transcends all others in importance, and this is the human element. No matter what the weapons of the future may be, no matter how they are employed in war or international diplomacy, people will always and still be the most important factor in naval operations. Thank you very much.
So again, Naval Education Training Command on board ANS Pensacola, the only flag officer in our 2-county area actually with, you know, an assignment. I mean, we have a lot of flag officers here retired. You know, the only one who's actually active, and it's a training for almost everything in the Navy. And just other than like aviation training, which is primarily done by Chief of Naval Air Training Sinatra, except for NIFE, which is the Naval Introductory Flight Evaluation. NIFE is the new. That's under NETSI. But the point is, if you're training in the Navy, you're going through NETSI almost entirely. And got a chance to talk with Admiral Huffman Capo afterwards. And, you know, I don't lead with the softball. I didn't know if I'd get a chance to ask a second question. So I asked the one that I was interested in.
So, Admiral, you had the privilege of taking out the Ford for its first deployment. What unique knowledge of that platform is going to shape your use of NETSI to fill the billets that are going to deploy to that kind of carrier in the future?
No, fantastic question. I appreciate it, Andrew. The Gerald R. Ford, the ship itself, as our newest aircraft carrier, had 23 new technologies on board. And we were able to put together the team, and it's the right team of sailors trained up to use that new technology and give us that asymmetric advantage when it comes to dealing with adversaries. And as was mentioned in the speeches today, you know, a lot of times Just showing up with the carrier strike group will make an incredible difference in that deterrent effect. And that's really what I think we're driving for most often, is to project that presence, make sure we're ensuring security and stability throughout the world. And you know, a ship like the Gerald R. Ford and taking that strike group, probably the most capable strike group we've ever deployed, and bringing it into that operational environment was really a privilege for me. I work closely with Admiral Cherico to achieve those certifications, and I think I'll be able to take that experience and bring that all the way back to the force development mission that we have at Naval Education and Training Command. So we talk about taking people from the street, taking those folks that volunteer and raise their right hand, bringing them through that training continuum and getting them out to that warfighting posture, ready to defend and protect. I think that is the critical task that I have now. And so I'll be able to take those experiences, really what worked and what didn't, and what the sailors needed as they move forward, getting that new platform out and deployed, and be able to apply that across the spectrum of our portfolio here. So looking broadly at really this vast, incredible organization, I'm really eager for the challenge to help bring that operational flavor into what we're doing now, as we, you know, continue to meet record recruitment goals and get the sailors out to the fleet where they're needed.
I mean, the Gerald Ford is completely novel platform compared to the carriers that we have been using, right? Even down to like the catapult is different. It's electromagnetic versus, you know, the old pneumatic ones that we used to use for decades and decades and still do. And all these other systems he talks about. So I love the fact that a guy who commanded that carrier, the strike group, in his first deployment, or not his first, but in its first deployment, that he brings that knowledge back, and now he can really look at what works, what do we need, where do we need to change things and shift things to make sure that the output is there. Same basic thing in, you know, talking about, like, his kids, because he's got, you know, a kid who's a F-18 pilot, and he's himself an F-18 pilot and an experimental pilot, like, 28 different platforms, something like that. I mean, this is a rock star in the naval community, naval aviation community.
You said you have two sons, one flies choppers, one flies the Hornet, and, you know, you came back from Indo-PACOM. How is the picture of Southeast Asia, China, imminent threat that everybody's talking about, how does that shape your motivation for training at NETSI?
You know, and I will kind of also reference Admiral Cherico's extensive family that is involved in this. When you kind of take a step back and say we have skin in the game. And I think all of us as Americans do, but it's very close to me. You know, my youngest son, the helicopter pilot, actually deployed to the Western Pacific last year when I was out there in Guam. And so I got a chance to see him, and knowing that he is out there carrying out that mission was really inspirational to me. And so getting a chance to see my children carrying on this legacy, and knowing I now have a part in ensuring that the sailors that are going to be serving with them are getting the training they need, really does bring it home to me. And so all of this is to say I am going to take this job incredibly seriously. I know that I have a very difficult task, but it's also a very rewarding one. And when I'll get the chance to see these folks move out to the fleet, and I'll get feedback because my children tend to give me unvarnished feedback on what they're seeing. You know, I can bring that forward as well, and they will not hold anything back when they say, Dad, you're messing this up. You need to think about this, that, or the other thing. I'll be like, oh, got it. So that to me is going to be also very, very empowering.
I love it. I mean, I'm so excited about this. And by the way, the jangling is medals. It's not bracelets. It's medals. And the one thing I would say to all of us is we are the hosts. We are the hosts for NAS Pensacola and everything that the Naval Education Training Command, 251 different schoolhouses, are not all here, but many of them are here. 23,000 employees, 49,000 students. I mean, it's insane how big this command is. And a very, very large chunk of it, as well as many other aspects of training and preparation and force preparation that go on here, both at Whiting and at Corry Station and at NAS Pensacola and, of course, Hurlburt with the Air Force, but still same concept. We're the host. We're the host area. It is every bit our duty to make sure that the schools are good, to make sure that the roads are good, to make sure that the affordable housing is available and that the community is receptive and supportive. And of course we are. I mean, that's what we're known for. But like, we have a role to play in all of this because we are one of the key steps that such a massive portion of the Navy goes through, and everything we can do to help is helping our military, is helping them deter and discourage and threaten and prevent and or if they have to actually engage in, as Cherico said, kill people and blow their stuff up. We are a key part of that. This is no light task. This is, you know, I mean, you may be a server or a bartender or work in accounting or sell insurance or repair cars or whatever, but you are all part of this community, and we are all part of the military preparation pipeline. And just don't forget it. You know, might not be every day you have something to do in this regard, but maybe once in a while you do, and we are all contributors to this overall product. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I just want to say amen, Brother Andrew. That's all. I'm sorry. Okay.
Wait, Brother Andrew's the bad guy. Wait, so confusing. Anyway, but okay. I'll take it.
All right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Seen some minor delays on Davis Highway as you approach southbound, as you approach Olive Road, so just be aware of that. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Lasting strength for life is found in deep and sincere study of the Word of God. Specifically, if you're seeking strength for life, I challenge you to study the Gospel of John. The book's thesis explains that it has two main objectives. First, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And second, that believing ye might have life through his name. The 21 chapters set out to prove that Jesus was the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied about. And secondly, the Gospel of John offers eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Lasting strength for life starts and ends with belief in Jesus. So take time to read the Gospel according to John. You may be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
7. Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-777-1225. That's 800-777-1225. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I quote John Lennon, "I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me." A good point there. After all, he was the walrus. I could be the walrus. I'd still have to bum rides off of people.
7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Mike Wood from Pensacola Police Department comes up in just a moment. David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us, sir?
Not that quick.
Okay, cool. very good. The 4th of July Community Maritime Park Show. Always a great show put on by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber right downtown on Bayfront.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. At least 240 Israelis are reported hurt in Iranian missile strikes, one hitting a hospital. The Wall Street Journal reports President Trump has approved attack plans for Iran. Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
He said that he has not made a decision and that he likes to make the decisions at the last possible second. When we checked in on that Wall Street Journal story, which is well-sourced, I was told by a White House official that all options remain on the table.
Israeli airstrikes hit a nuclear power plant in Iran today. It's June 19th. Most federal offices, banks, and U.S. stock markets are closed.
Juneteenth honors the date when Major General Gordon Granger traveled to Galveston Bay, Texas in 1865 to share the news that more than a quarter million black people in the state were free. 2.5 years after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863.
It's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 79 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. It is a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Today is Juneteenth, and celebrations are happening today across Northwest Florida. Those celebrations happen today, tomorrow, into the weekend. In Pensacola, the rescheduled Martin Luther King Jr. Day Parade is happening downtown today. That'll be at 10 a.m. Parking restrictions just going into effect here a couple of moments ago. So that means there are parking restrictions downtown right now. Vehicles parked on the parade route could be towed. The parade begins at 10 a.m. Juneteenth also being celebrated later this afternoon at an event at New Beginning Church in Pensacola. There will be a Juneteenth celebration at Gallery Night tomorrow night, and there's an event Saturday at Fellowship Church in Milton. Well, there is a new leader for the Navy's largest shore command, NETSI, the Naval Education and Training Command, now in the charge of Rear Admiral Greg Huffman. Outgoing Commander Rear Admiral Jeffrey Sherico had these words for the new commander.
Someday our adversaries will roll their dice and figure that it's time. At that point, our only choice is to fight and win with what we have. Capo, if you don't mind, that's your charge. For these 49,000 in training today and those tens of thousands to come, please make certain that the sailors we have in the fleet are the result of your very best efforts.
And Admiral Cherico there. Rear Admiral Huffman previously commanded a joint task force in Micronesia. NETSI has command of more than 24,000 personnel worldwide. They're charged with turning civilians into combat-ready warfighters. Now, the Florida Board of Governors approving Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. as the new interim president for UWF, the only member of the board to vote against that confirmation. Former chairman Eric Szilagyi, who questioned Diaz receiving a higher base salary than current president Dr. Martha Saunders.
Her base is $536,000. His will be $643,000. She had the annuity. She did have the bonus. He doesn't have the annuity. He doesn't have the bonus.
And that's a UWF trustee chair, Rebecca Matthews. Szilagyi also questioning whether Dr. Saunders had ever been asked to take that interim president role or just to stay on the job instead of resigning. Matthews said no, she had honored the resignation letter. Diaz takes over for Dr. Martha Saunders on July 14th. Nine illegal immigrants that had been previously deported from the U.S. are being indicted now on some new charges related to illegally re-entering the country. A release from the U.S. Attorney's Office said arrests were made as part of Operation Take Back America, a nationwide initiative to repel illegal immigration. Now, in Northwest Florida, five immigrants were arrested in Pensacola, one in Gulf Breeze, two in Santa Rosa County, one in Fort Walton Beach. Nine other immigrants have been arrested further out in North Florida, in Tallahassee and in Madison County. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Make your outdoor space summer ready. Get $50 off new mosquito or fire ant control service. Visit insect.net today. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays there, even through the construction zone. If you're on Davis Highway going southbound toward Olive, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay there. But no accidents. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout your day today, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 79 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Chad Robinson with Your Money Now. At Home, the popular home goods retailer with 260 stores across 40 U.S. states has filed for bankruptcy. The Dallas-based company announcing it had entered an agreement with its lenders that will eliminate substantially all of its roughly $2 billion in debt and provide $200 million in fresh funding to keep At Home operating while it navigates the Chapter 11 process. Leonard Lauder, the eldest son of cosmetics pioneers Estée and Joseph Lauder, died Saturday. He was 92. Born to a Jewish family in New York City, Leonard Lauder, as a boy, would join his mother on sales calls in salons and helped her pack boxes of powder and cleansing oils. He would later attend and graduate from Columbia University's School of Business after serving as a lieutenant in the U.S. Navy. The markets are closed today for the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You will need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty. She'll discuss current real estate conditions today at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Coming up on the 4th of July at 7:30 is the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks, presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. Reserve your spot along Bayfront Parkway to listen to the Pensacola Symphony's presentation of Sparks and Stars at Community Maritime Park. Listen to the broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks on Pensacola Bay and Pensacola Beach will be synchronized to the music on News Radio, presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and watch the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
The investigation into Bill Bond.
Sure.
address it. Address it however you want to address it.
Yeah, thanks. Well, on the specific bill bond issue, it's an open investigation. You can ask Mike about it tomorrow if you want. But and remember, we have dozens of investigations on the individuals, on nonprofits, on businesses happening at any given time. So that I want to make clear of that. Second, I want to make clear that it's not the allegation or investigation has nothing to do with finances that are coming to or from the city itself.
All right. So the mayor says, ask Mike Wood. So I will do what the mayor says and ask Mike Wood. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so we have heard about the investigation into bill bond and finances and some of the allegations surrounding this. As the mayor said, it is an investigation. There are many investigations. Is there anything you can tell us at this point?
Yeah, he's right. We have many, and there is one into bill bond at this point about financial issues, and whether that's substantiated or not, we'll find that out at the end of the investigation.
Okay. Is there a time frame on something like that? I mean, I don't even know if it's a month, a year, or, you know.
No, because especially when you get into finances, that could take a while. It depends on how deep it goes and how far back it goes. So there's no specific timeline.
Okay, very, very good. Just that's what I was kind of curious about. Big news today. I know it's a holiday. I know it's Juneteenth. And then, you know, John had noticed, you know, it's a holiday, Andrew. I'm like, oh, yeah. Federal workers, state workers, everybody but, you know, radio hosts and firefighters and cops and, you know, nurses have off.
Right.
But there's a parade today. It's a combo parade. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you know, rescheduled parade and also Juneteenth, right?
Yeah, so that's what's really important to know right now are road closures, which are happening as we speak around the parade route. It's going to be the normal route and the normal road closures, the new version, which does include a main street eventually. We will close Main Street between 9 and 10. The parade is set to go at 10 o'clock from 10 to 12. But what's important to know is that the courthouse is still open, and we will allow people down Main Street and up Balin Street to get to the courthouse today.
Okay, so if they need to get to the courthouse, you obviously are accommodating that because it is open, which is interesting. I wouldn't have thought it was open today on a holiday, but okay, you say it is. And this is the same thing we've gone through with Mardi Gras, which is, you know, cars need to be out. Road closures expect, don't get through on Main Street, all of that, because it's the normal parade route for this one, right?
Yes. So we'll be towing vehicles for safety reasons if they are left on the parade route. Officers are down there doing that as we speak, making sure the parade route is clear.
Yeah, because I think if I remember correctly, the window was 3 hours, and we're into the 3-hour window already, right?
Yes. Yes. So the closures, everything will be fully closed by 9 o'clock, but the closures on the outer perimeters are happening now.
Very good. All right. I wanted to follow up with you. Well, actually, we had one story that I thought was kind of just weird, you know, but it's cop stuff. You had a very unusual incident started at the Circle K, the new one over at A.N. Garden. Is that right?
Yeah, that was overnight Tuesday, where a male became belligerent and ripped off all of the gas pump hoses. Then he got inside of a car and fled the scene. Officers located that vehicle and tried to stop it at Pace and Garden. The vehicle showed signs of impairment and attempted to flee. The vehicle crashed at Pace and LaRue, where officers attempted to block that vehicle in. The vehicle was then able to flee once again and continued on Pace Boulevard. And because of the impaired driving pattern and the speed, the pursuit was authorized in this specific incident. And shortly after that, it was again terminated. So that goes to show, once we authorize a pursuit, we can always terminate that. Everything is fluid in situations like that. But the vehicle then slowed because of the damage that it sustained from the crash, and officers were able to keep the car in sight. It eventually stopped. The occupants bailed out and ran, and the driver and passenger were located and charged accordingly without further incident.
Wow. Okay. So, and I think it's interesting that you initiated the chase, and it sounds like it maybe had done a pit maneuver at one point. You didn't say that, but it seemed like that's kind of what you were saying. And then it just kind of didn't take, and they kept on going, but called off, you know, which is an interesting choice because, you know, of course, a fleeing vehicle carries a risk. We talk about this all the time. But you guys have the same policy as the sheriff's office now, that a forced felony or a stolen car is something that you'll actively chase, that you'll pit them if you can?
Yes, well, first of all, we did not do a pit. We tried to box the vehicle in. That's two different things. Once it stopped, we try to surround it to where it has nowhere to go.
Okay.
But to answer your question, yes, if it's a forcible felony, something very serious like that, then we will pursue that vehicle and do what we need to do to get it stopped.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. Just seeing some minor delays on Davis as you approach Olive Road southbound. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood on this Juneteenth, where we have a parade coming up in just a couple of hours. So be aware of that, especially for the road closures around it. Mike, you recently, there was a story, wasn't that a couple days ago, I think it was, one of your other officers was talking on Channel 3 about the program to get people to register their cameras. Not because you would have access to the camera yourself, but because if you need to get evidence on a scene, you know who's got cameras and you can go ask them for permission. Is that right?
Yes, and that's very important for people to know once they register, and we would love for them to do that. We do not have access to those cameras. We cannot pull them up whenever we feel like it. That's not how it works. It just lets us know that cameras were in a specific area. If there's a crime in that area, we can look on that list and we can say, yes, we do have these cameras. This person let us know that they have cameras, and we will contact them and ask them if we can see the video. That's not something that we will demand. It's not something that we force. We will just ask them. So we just want to be aware of where all of our cameras are in case a crime happens, and then we will contact people at that point.
Well, but Mike, I watch TV, and I know that on TV, you know, some kid who drinks a lot of Mountain Dew works for the police department, and it takes him about 18 seconds to hack into everybody's camera simultaneously on a big screen in front of him, and he can watch all of these very easily. You're telling me that's not how it works?
Well, yeah, that's why we do this show every Thursday, is to dispel some of those myths. That is not true. It's not even anywhere close to being true. So that could be one of those mythbusters we do one time.
I know. It's amazing, the suspension of disbelief and then what it makes people think about. This is a case where a fake belief that people have based on, you know, what happens on TV then can become, I assume, an impediment where you have to teach people, no, we don't have access to your cameras and we're just looking for cooperation to facilitate investigations. But you've got to actually overcome the hurdle of bias based on an error in order to get something fairly simple done. So on behalf of all the media who get these things wrong, I apologize. You had an accident or a crash on Scenic. It wound up in a fatality, but the person was actually ejected from the car. Is that right?
Yeah, he was partially ejected. It looks like the vehicle was traveling at a high rate of speed on Scenic and just did not negotiate the curb near Manalay. Another tragic incident and without seatbelt usage. So we've said this 100 times. We just please use those seatbelts, even if you never know. Nobody expects to be in a car crash, but please put it on and expect that you will be in one, because you never know. Somebody could pull out in front of you. There's a mechanical issue. There's lots of things that could happen to cause a crash. And just be ready with that seatbelt on. It's all we ask.
Yeah, I mean, you're driving along, and especially if you're speeding, which you shouldn't be, but let's say you are because, you know, you live in Florida. You're speeding along, you blow a tire, you go off the road, you hit a tree. Things happen. Weird, terrible, horrible things happen. And so I'm totally with you. Seatbelts matter. You had made an announcement just because, going back to last weekend's No Kings protest against President Trump, and also the Thursday protest that happened, I think, after you and I got off the show, if I'm not mistaken. Thursday. Anyway, these were all no incident, no arrests, no confrontation, no problems. Even the one case where people thought there was a problem of a truck jumping a curb was an accident, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was classic Pensacola. It went very well that day on both ends, on 9th Avenue and at 17th Avenue. The 9th Avenue was cut a little short due to the weather and some lightning up there, and there was an incident where a vehicle jumped a curb, but there was nobody in the direct line of that vehicle with the video that we have. Now, if anybody else has video contrary to that, we would certainly like to see that, but
The individual was very cooperative with us. He was trying to make a left turn and eating a hamburger at the same time, and just he lost control of the vehicle. It went up on the curb to a sidewalk. He immediately corrected, got it back on the roadway. But again, if anybody else has any video that besides the video that we already have that shows that there was nobody in that direct path, we would certainly like to see that.
Very good. So eating a hamburger will sometimes cause you to drive poorly. Is that what I hear you saying? Because I know it's true.
Yeah, it's not a very good idea to eat and drive, but especially when you're trying to make a turn, that can be a problem, and it was that day.
Every driver thinks they're Superman. Everybody thinks, I'm a flawless driver, I can do all these things, and nothing bad will ever happen. And then when the bad thing happens, you know, and like in a case like this, you're lucky. But sometimes we're not so lucky. I always like to end with a cop myth. I guess we kind of have done it. So let's stick on the theme a little bit just because we're kind of already in this vicinity. Technology in TV and movies, it looks like you have millions, and every police department has millions and millions and millions of dollars of the most cutting edge technology. You have a fleet of teenage super hackers who can hack into everything. You can surveil. You get information back from the crime lab immediately. Fingerprints, blood analysis, everything. And this is all exactly how it works in real life, right?
No.
Any slice of that you want to educate people on?
So all of that is not right, except for the technology part. Let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah. That is beginning to happen in certain ways. With
the real-time crime center, right?
Technologies that we have. Yeah, the real-time crime center is just, and I've been in this business 38 years, and that's probably one of the biggest, most successful programs that I've ever seen. And it's just going to continue to get better. And we want to be able to see things as it's happening. And when things do happen, to be able to zoom in on that location with various ways of, you know, whether it's video, photos, sound, you know, to try to get information on the person that was responsible in the vehicle that they were in. So that is coming to fruition very quickly.
And one other slice, and I only bring it up because it's, again, it's all the 15 billion lies that get told about your occupation on TV. The idea that your investigators just sort of work around the rules, do the opposite of what the captain says, go and break in and surveil and violate the Constitution as a routine matter, and then are forgiven because it all works out at the end of the show. That also is not what happens, right?
Yeah, if they acted like that, then we might as well not investigate it, because as soon as it gets to court, everything's going to get thrown out
right.
On technicality. So you have to go by the law. That's kind of what we do. And we don't go against what the supervisors say and what the law says and the state attorney and all that. That just doesn't happen. And that's why a lot of times these investigations take much longer than the public would like. It takes much longer than we would like, because we have rules we got to go by in order to make sure that the prosecution is successful.
Yeah, your job is to make the case. And there's no point in making the arrest if you can't make the case. So, you know, making the case requires...
Isn't that funny how that works?
Right. It requires following the rules. And I always think it's amazing how much vigilantism is promoted in our culture across the board in all domains, especially when it comes to police work. I'm like, it's just not like that in real life. But I appreciate it. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, answering my questions, teaching us about the law, and keeping us safe. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are considering a move, like you are moving to the beach or moving to the city or to the country, want to move from, you know, Jay to Milton, or from Milton to Warrington, or from Warrington to Pensacola Beach, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Downsize, upsize. You want to acquire a vacation rental or a regular rental, or just want to sell a home for whatever reason. Christina Leavenworth is your gal. She and her team at Leavenrinke Realty will take care of you. 165 homes they sold last year, 175 the year before that, 3.5, 3, 4 every week, week after week after week. They know how to stage it. They know how to photograph it. They know how to list it. They know how to set the open house, how to price it, how to navigate and negotiate, how to, even if you're buying a new home, you think, what do I need a realtor for buying a new home? Just talk to the builder. Talk to her first. What can you do for me? Ask her. She'll tell you. Christine, there are things, important things. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus
Georgetown-Pensacola.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Coming up on the 4th of July at 7:30 is the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks, presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. Reserve your spot along Bayfront Parkway to listen to the Pensacola Symphony's presentation of Sparks and Stars at Community Maritime Park. Listen to the broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks on Pensacola Bay and Pensacola Beach will be synchronized to the music on News Radio, presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and watch the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Hello, Wazowski. Fun-filled evening planned for tonight?
Well, as a matter of fact...
And I'm sure you filed your paperwork correctly, for once. Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
All right, I'm going to bet $2 that you don't know who this is, John.
Well, I'm not taking that bet because I don't know who it is.
It's The Cure.
Really?
Yeah. They make a lot of great music. They really do. All right, John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
I thought it was like a... Anyway, I wanted tortilla
like
chips.
Some Spanish man or something, right? With tortilla the castanets. Yeah, go on.
Go ahead and bring those. Okay, all right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, just around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone, we're seeing maybe a 3 to 4 minute delay, but nothing really spectacular. Other than that, things are looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Because nobody's working.
I know, except for us.
That's right. And the cops. And the fire. And the nurses. And the EMS.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. John, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, several of the largest cities in the nation are suing the Trump administration for withholding federal counterterrorism funding. Seattle, Chicago, Boston...
Wait, what'd you just say?
Boston, the city.
No.
That is what I said.
Boston.
I did not say
Boston.
Boston humbug. Go on, sir.
All right. Both the city and the county of San Francisco are in this lawsuit, which accuses the Trump administration of improperly pausing the securing the city's program, which was created by Congress to provide funding, training, and equipment against terrorist or nuclear attacks.
That is copy designed to mess you up, by the way. So well done.
Yes, it absolutely is. Starship rocket has exploded during a routine test at the SpaceX launch facility in Texas. Authorities there said the rocket suffered a catastrophic failure and exploded yesterday with no injuries reported. Video of the blast showed the 400-foot rocket erupting into a fireball. And the Department of Agriculture opening a new facility in Texas to fight a parasite that they say could be deadly.
This isn't the worms one, is it?
To cattle.
No, not the worms. Okay.
Or wait, well, it is a worm.
Those worms are horrifying looking.
Brooke Rollins, Agriculture Secretary in Texas, outlined plans this week to build an $8.5 million installation to combat the New World screwworm.
Oh, God, they're horrible.
Oh. They say it could disrupt the Texas cattle industry. Please, no. We need the cattle.
No, it's
we need the beef.
They're really awful. And you know, when I don't know, worms weird me out. I guess everybody's wormed up. Wormed out. Everybody's weirded out by different things. Worms weird me out.
Bring me the boar worm.
No, not the boar worms.
Not the boar worms.
Oh, those are gross looking.
Yeah, see, I told you. You don't want to look. All right, a little Flash Gordon there for you. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, the most confusing story of the day award goes to how the CDC is going to stop advising you that moderate drinking is 1 to 2 drinks. the takeaway here is they still want to emphasize moderate drinking. They're just not going to put a number on there for what that means because they say the science isn't clear about what qualifies as the moderate drinks to get you the health benefits. So the story is such a weird one. It really is. 92.